Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and our special guest today, Jason Martinkus, who is the grand poobah of every man's battle. He's the one that does the lectures. He's in charge, does a great job. We'll be talking with him and you at 1-800-229-3000.
I loved your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
I should talk to a therapist.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you definitely need...
I should go unload on somebody.
What's the question about that?
Whether I'm saved, because I'm just nuttier than a fruitcake.
Well, as Steve said, if being nutty can't equal being saved, he and I are in trouble as well, especially him.
That's the first really honest thing I think I've heard you say, and I'm not trying to be mean. That sounded honest.
And you work at listening to her.
Your mom is a marriage vulture, and she sits on your shoulder, and what you want her to become is a hummingbird. Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. This is kind of a special edition because we're focusing so much on every man's battle, sexual integrity, sexual impurity. You know, here's the time of year, April Fool's Day. And this is no joke here. This is the real deal. It's the problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah, problem of the decade, certainly, or the past couple of decades that I've been around. Jason, what is it that happens at a New Life weekend?
Life-changing weekend. Three words I hear most often to describe it. First is safe.
Safe.
Safest place on the planet.
Great.
Second is real.
Mm-hmm.
Real. We get into the real issues.
Mm-hmm.
Relevant. We talk about relevant issues. We talk about relevant tips, tools, and tactics guys can use to go fight this fight.
Mm-hmm. And you see the results.
Every month.
Yeah,
month in and month out.
And you're sharing your own story with them, not just preaching.
That's right. Suicidal sexual addict, by the grace of God, set free. Mm. My marriage restored, and here I am today.
Yeah. Do you still irritate her every now and then?
Every week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need a weekend for that one, too, Jay.
Yeah.
Every man's irritation. I mean, every woman's
irritation. Every woman's irritation.
Hey, here's one of the counselors that's there. He doesn't do the speaking. He's the counselor, Bob Sklar. Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Great, Steve. Good morning.
Bob, when you're counseling one of these groups at Every Man's Battle Weekend, what's one of the most remarkable things that you see happening there?
Well, one of the things that I think is so great is when the guys all come in, they're afraid, they are not connected, they are like most guys, and they get into the weekend, they find a safe place, and community develops.
Mm-hmm.
And they find themselves sharing their lives and their stories, and... getting supported and whole in a community of other men.
And when they're connected in community, what impact does that have once they go home, once they've experienced that at the weekend?
Well, it has a great impact because they're able to better communicate and connect with other men when they get home in their church communities. But
yeah.
Not only that, on the weekend we do a lot of teaching on how to talk about their feelings and how to connect better with their wives.
Yeah, great. Hey, Bob, you have a private practice. Why do you take a break from that to do these weekends?
Because, first of all, it's for my own recovery because I'm a recovering sex addict.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is I see the transformation, what happens in men's lives, and it's exciting and builds my faith because I get to see God act in real time. I get to see God change a man from a Friday to a Sunday, from, you know, somebody who's a broken branch into a part of the vine.
Yeah, wonderful.
Well said.
Thanks for your work, Bob. We really appreciate you and look forward to our paths crossing real soon.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob. All right, there it is. If you are interested, 1-800-229-3000. You want to talk to us on the program here. If you want some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or go to the website, newlife.com. We've got all the information there about the programs. We have a wonderful Every Man's Battle workshop coming up right here in April in Santa Ana, California, Southern California. If you have someone you love, maybe it's time for a bold move on your part that could change everything. You'd end up with the man you always wanted. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program today.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Hardeburn here. Let's talk with, let's go over here and talk.
Talk about everything
David.
On the show.
David, we've been waiting for you, and sometimes waiting just doesn't take the place of actually talking to
somebody.
We've
been delaying gratification.
Yeah, that's
just
right.
Just waiting.
Here patient. You are, Mission Viejo. Listen on KKLA. Let's not wait any longer. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
All right. How could we help you today, David?
Well, just real briefly, I went to EMB January 22nd, 2010. Jason was the coordinator, facilitator. He was awesome.
Thank you.
He was amazing. Told his story and just made everybody comfortable. Like the other guys all said, everybody went in there scared to death. And so it's been a great year. I celebrated a year of sobriety from porn and masturbation.
Wow. Way to go.
Got through private SAA counseling. Got accountability partner from the session last year. We still hang out together and talk almost at least twice a week. But I've been separated from my wife for 2.5 years, a year and a half. Almost since the weekend last year, and the full disclosure that
she couldn't handle. She couldn't handle what it was that you told her.
Well, she just needed time. I can't trust you.
Yeah. Okay.
So I guess the big question is, when will she trust me, and when will we, start working towards reconciliation? Mm.
Well, David, is it a she won't or she can't? That's, you got to determine that first.
Well, it's partly a timing issue. There's things going on in our life that we put off until March. My daughter's getting married, so we're putting that.
But I'm asking, David, I'm asking a different question. What I'm asking is, if she were on the radio with us right now, and we said, Cindy, do you want to trust David? Would she go, yeah, I really want to, but I can't yet? Or would she say, I'm just kind of checked out here?
No, it's the first one. She would say, yes, I want to.
Okay. Well, that's the most hopeful answer. So the question is going to be then is, this is something you've got to pose to her and say, I want to be that guy, and we're all sitting here in the studio impressed by all the work you've done, and so you got to say to her, what will it take so that you can fully trust me again that I'm that man? Most of the time, it helps the wife to have that kind of structure. Then she can go off with her friends or her counselor or her pastor or whatever and say, okay, what will it take? And most of them will say that for a period of time that you are fully accountable. We talked about this in an earlier program where all credit cards and all phone numbers and, you have no secrets from her. You're available 24/7, full disclosure at all times. That's one thing. A second is that you're faithfully going to the things and the meetings and opening up and being vulnerable and finding God and safety and all that. And a third one is that you're attuned to her needs and you really enter her world and you care about her feelings and you sort of enter her life. And for most wives, there is a tipping point when you do those three things where they wake up one day, and it's not, it doesn't have to be too long unless there's something really severe going on, where they wake up and they go, this guy's not perfect, but I trust him. But you have to help her be accountable for that, because too many times a guy will go, well, I'll do it for 6 months, I'll do it for a year, and it's not her agenda, and it's not her schedule, and she's the innocent party here. So she's got to say, if these things will happen for this amount of time, and I'm working my own growth program, I've got, you know, growth going on, I'll wake up one day and I will really start to trust you again. So you've got to put that structure with her.
You know, one of the reasons that the problem can exist so long is that a woman will see him, kind of idolize the guy, and it's hard for her to let in maybe a little hint of distrust or whatever. She's just idolized. He's all good. And so when, in that situation,
great is the fall.
Yeah. When he comes home and says all this, man, she goes to all
who are you?
Bad. And it's really, really a long road back in that case.
And trusting again means that her heart gets stomped on again, potentially.
Yeah.
If she's going to trust, then she's risking herself to get really hurt again.
The best thing you can do is get her to this workshop we're doing in September for women like her, or get her to a New Life weekend. It will help her.
Okay.
There's an Every Heart Restored workshop in the New Life weekend. That would change everything. I'm so glad you called, David. Don't give up now.
But it got involved her. Don't do something to get her to trust you. Get her to own the process of, Sally, what would it take? And that gets her neurons working
on the
solution.
Right. All right. God bless you, man. I'm really glad that you called us. And let me send you a Life Recovery Bible. I hope that let's see. I wonder if you have an Every Man's Bible. Do you know if he has it? Do we give
those out at the weekend.
Okay, I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible then. Yep. All right. Let's talk with Bob from Harrisburg, Virginia. Hello, Bob. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. How could we help you today?
Well, I guess the little story is I struggle with sexual integrity back to prior to me losing a job, even in 1999. I actually lost a job over at looking at it at work and pornography. And I have gone through, 6 to 8, maybe even 10 years of therapy with a therapist who specializes in, sexual issues. Mm-hmm. And gotten to the point where I actually found your show and bought the book online, Every Man's Battle. And the thing that I keep running into is, I guess, very similar to the last guy, where my wife, it just, when I mentioned to her, she asked me, she goes, what are you reading? Or she looked over my shoulder, and, her first response was, well, I guess you still have a problem with that, so that's why you're reading that. And I really didn't know what to say to her, and my response to her was, well, now I feel like I need to make sure that I have no temptation, and this book really seemed to open up a way for me to, follow a path that keeps me there, but it's the whole trust issue. She brings it up all the time. We have 3 daughters, and she continues to basically use it as a battering ram. Well, I can't really trust you. Well, I had something recently where I was helping my father do some work, and I hadn't told her about it first, and she said, well, see, you lied to me. You hid that from me. It's always an issue of thinking of.
So what have you tried? Will she go to a New Life weekend with you where you guys could get on the same page or not?
Well, we've actually talked about it. I've spoken with one of your counselors on the other side, and I have information. There's, I think, coming up in July, there's a event in Philadelphia, I think.
Yeah.
I'm at Pennsylvania, not Virginia. We've talked about it. She's kind of agreed in principle. But, again, last night we had another issue, and it was a trust issue, and she ended up blowing up at me. And I feel like I can't get redemption.
Okay.
Like
go ahead, Jason.
Bob, why do you think she doesn't trust you? What do you think the issue is?
I think she keeps feeling I'm lying to her, like for this instance where, I didn't tell her I was going to help my dad, do a little work. And there's an issue. It's a boundary issue that, I had with that. And, she just... She's always seems to be looking for the suspicious thing.
Do you give her suspicious things to see?
Do I give her those?
Yes.
Not that I think that I do. Like, I'm trying to think. There was some time where somebody called me. I'm an active salesperson, and I get lots of calls on my phone. And she said, "Who was that?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know." And she right away looked at me, and then I received lots of phone calls, and I didn't know at the time. I said, "I'll check and see who it was." But it's frustrating for me. I'm trying to, we go to church, we pray together, and you know, like I said, I'm reading Sunday morning. It was a couple weeks back. I'm reading the Everyman's Battle, and it turned into a fight where she's like, "Well, I guess you're reading that because you still have a problem." And I'm
All right. Here's what I want you to do. Okay. I want you to reframe her distrust as the same split off from the relationship that you would do every time you did pornography.
Okay.
So I want you to, you had a problem with pornography, right?
Correct, yeah. I mean,
okay,
yeah,
so now she has a problem of forgiving and trusting. So you've got to say, okay, I did pornography 1,000 times. I'm going to allow her 1,000 times to hate trusting me and say stuff that totally destroys our potential for intimacy. While you are building her up, being consistent, giving her access to everything, just having no secrets of your own, and moving toward you guys getting to a weekend, either her on her own or you together. But I don't even know if I'm making myself clear on this, but I want you to be able to say, okay,
I can live with this.
Yeah, I can live with her doing that.
Yeah, let me tie into what Steve said there, Bob. There's two questions that I would want you to ask your wife. When she does that, instead of feeling, you know, devalued and discouraged, you've got to allow her, you know, some room for this, for the way she feels because of what you've done. So ask her these two questions. One is, help me understand. I understand what's going on. That's kind of where Jason was going with, like, beneath the trust issues is generally fear. So I want to understand it. And so don't move away and get defensive and say, there you go again, I'm not ever done enough for you. Just kind of go, all right, honey, it just happened again, and you saw me reading the book. I want to understand what just happened. And then she can kind of say, well, you know, I'm trying to raise three daughters here, and I don't know if you're a pervert or whatever, and I'm scared. And then you get deeper. You know, Proverbs 20 tells us that everybody has a heart full of deep waters, and a person of understanding draws them out. So you got to be the grown up here and move toward her and say, "I want to understand." And secondly, you have to say, "What does it take? What do you need? You know, what do you need to see from me so that you'll feel better?" Like the last call, you need to put some ownership on her and say, "Well, you know that I'm not 100% perfect husband. Nobody can be. But what do you need to see from me? You need to know that any phone call will come to you, or if I'm reading a book, I can tell you why." But it gives her some ownership so that if you don't do that, then she can say, well, you're not 100%. You're like a fraud, as opposed to, well, do you need to know that every day I'll check in with you or whatever? So what do you need to see from me, and I want to understand? And that will solve most of the I'm afraid kind of suspicious husband dynamics.
Trust building is a proactive process.
It's a proactive process.
It's not about just not doing things that look suspicious. It's about doing things that look like you're protecting your wife's heart. Mm-hmm. That's what you're really trying to get to, is down to that root of fear, to help her trust that you're not going to stomp on her heart again.
And the real hard part of that is you've got to move toward her suspicion and toward her lack of trust instead of, gosh, I'm discouraged. You don't believe in me. Just say you don't have to believe in me for a long time. You know, I was always impressed in John 10 when Jesus said, if you don't believe my words, look at the miracles I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, even God himself would say, if you don't trust me, watch me. So be the same guy.
Bob, I have one more piece of advice for you. You ready?
Okay.
Become a romantic.
Okay.
Woo her.
I'm actually already doing that. Good. I do that, but she gets suspicious of it.
Sure. Just be consistent with it, and just let her know you're thinking about her, you love her, you care about her, and she has license to go out and not trust you. You're not going anywhere. You're in this for the long haul. You love her, you want her, that kind of thing.
It took my wife 13 months before she decided to forgive.
Yeah.
And at that point, she decided to stay with me. In that 13 months, she had nothing to trust.
Yeah.
She had too many years of damage and hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It took a long time for trust to come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wrote a book called What Do I Do Now that deals with, like, attacking this in a strategic, structured way. So we'll send that to you too, Bob.
Okay. Coming your way. Let's go to Cecil from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hi, Cecil.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
What can we do for you?
I'm an Everman's Battle graduate of about 5 years now.
Great.
And I've started I go to two men's groups every week. I do ushering in church. I do parking in church. I've started a sexual addictions group in my church, Calvary Chapel, for sexual addicts called Pathway to Purity.
Wonderful.
Man, you're giving and back, too, aren't you, Cecil? Right.
And we meet once a week.
That's so great. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, man. That is so wonderful.
Well, the only thing is I too have a problem in that when Every Man's Battle is in the area, I had written, sent a couple emails out that what they should do is get groups like us to come in and leave cards or just make the people at the group aware that there are groups in the area available to them.
Right. Point well taken. We'll work on that so that you feel included in that. And God bless you. You know, really, the 12th step is all about doing what you're doing. You're helping others. You're carrying the message. Really appreciate you sharing that with us. We'll be back after this.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylon Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Because of my recovery. So.
Hey, we're back. Let's talk to Curtis from Arizona. Curtis, I think you're one of the EMB graduates, aren't you?
I am a graduate. I graduated August 2009. I was actually in Jason's group.
Hey, Curtis.
Wow.
Hey,
buddy.
And how did it go, and what's life like today?
It was one of the most exhausting weekends of my life. I am currently a year and a half clean and sober of any pornography, of any sexual activity at all.
All right. How does that feel?
It feels awesome. There's times where, it's been difficult on learning how to redirect that type of issue somewhere else and letting go and let God, but it is awesome.
Yeah, and how has your wife responded to all this?
My wife decided to hang in there with me. It was very painful. It was literally taking a monkey off my back and dropping a gorilla on her back.
Mm-hmm.
But
good for her.
It has been a very difficult road. It has, it's been a marathon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By no means is it a sprint. It is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Curtis came into the workshop with the X Factor. We talked about the X Factor earlier. He came in with a willingness and a brokenness to receive what God had for him there. Mm. Radically changed.
Yeah.
Radically changed his life.
Willing, broken, and humble is a wonderful place to begin a new life. Really is. What would you say to somebody that's thinking about, oh, I might have a problem, but it's not as bad as these guys?
I would say if it is a problem or you don't feel that it is a problem, or give it up for 2 or 3 weeks. And if you're not able to let it go, then you've definitely got a problem, and you definitely need to take a look at what's going on and what's going on in your life to make you hold on to that so strongly.
So you're saying if you think you can do it yourself, okay, give it a shot. But
absolutely not.
But if you're...
Absolutely not.
Oh.
No, I'm saying absolutely not. There's no way anybody could do this on their own.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Well, you know, even Curtis, you know, there's dry drunks. You know, there's guys who kind of live by the willpower thing, and maybe they're not acting out, but their bandwidth and their energy is not going into relationships and career and spiritual life and parenting and fun. Their bandwidth and energy is going into
not acting out,
which is a crummy way to live. So even the dry drunk needs to go.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing for a guy to say, I don't drink anymore. I haven't had anything to drink. And they're beating their kids and yelling at their wife, and and they're losing their job because of their anger. I mean, that's not our goal.
Or they've gone
here
into a cave and just kind of do Google searches and watch TV.
Right. That's not our goal. We're talking about life. We want you to be living. Right. Curtis, anything else you want to say? I really appreciate you calling us. Anything else?
I think accountability is key, and never stop the fight. Fight every single day and just give it up and let go.
Amen.
And just remember to stay humble and love your wife and realize that all the effort that you put into it and what you were doing, you need to put that exact same effort back into your marriage.
Thank you so much.
You know, guys, Galatians 5 tells us to stand for freedom because Christ made us free. Don't go back to a life of slavery. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool to hear, especially the testimonials towards you, Jason, that these guys are saying, I'm free now. I mean, something is not controlling me. Yeah. I'm free.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing.
You know, somebody said earlier, one of our callers said something about the compulsion is gone. I think it was Brian.
Right.
And that's what we talk about at EMB. The compulsion goes away. The temptation will always be there. Mm-hmm. The compulsion to give in, it that goes away.
And you know, if you're listening and you're thinking, well, I went to that thing, it didn't do that for me, well, go back.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the X factor somehow wasn't there yet. Mm-hmm. But it'll be the best thing you can do. And I want to tell you, there are other programs that tell you, quit your job and come live in this place for a year. Now, you've maybe even had some problem with work, but you're resigning your job for a year. And I just say, before you do that, you should give this weekend a try.
The weekend model is a good model.
Yeah, right. You should try this.
Right.
It could really...
We've had guys come who've been through a 90-day treatment program for sexual addiction, come to EMB and say they learned more to help them with real life than they did in that treatment.
Not that we're down on the treatment. No, I just hate to see people go there for that long and lose their job. Cindy is from Vero Beach, Florida, listens online. Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Great. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I value your advice very much.
Thank you. How could we help?
My question today is, I have a son who, when he was in sixth grade, he stayed after school a few times and was in the library. And I didn't know until very many months later that he was in the library with some boys viewing pornography. Mm. And we, you know, immediately sprang into action with talking to him about it, bought the Every Young Man's Battle book, went over it with him, and he understood it was wrong and said he wasn't going to do it again. And months later, we caught him again on the home computer viewing pornography, and probably had been doing it for a while, even though we don't really make the computer something he can do too much in private, but we're not always maybe right around him, and so he was doing it again, so we took the computer away, and then, you know, he said he wasn't going to do it, and his dad was working the Every Young Man's Battle book with him, and, you know, talking through it, little each day, little each week, and then, you know, a few months later, he had a cell phone, found him engaging in sexual-type conversation with girls, talking about, are you touching yourself, and are you doing this?
Okay. Cindy, something deeper is going on, and after the break, we want to talk about how the rest of his life, his non-sexual life, with you guys, friends, school, something else is going on that's driving this.
We'll be back.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Jason Martinkus. He is the lecturer at the Everyman's Battle Workshops. Dr. John Townsend, he is the author of his latest book.
What do I do now?
Yeah, what do I do now? And we want you to have that book if you want it. You just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we're talking with Cindy. Her son has repeatedly shown that he is involved in pornography and sexting and just some really troublesome things. John has said before the break, there's something deeper here.
Yeah, Cindy, let me take you through the three main areas of life. This is kind of a, what you call a diagnostic matrix with anybody. Uh-huh. And just say, and you kind of give a report card on how he's doing, okay?
Uh-huh.
First area of life is the personal life. How am I doing with my relationships with mom and dad and my, you know, how am I doing in, you know, like making it to school and all that sort of stuff? Basic personal life. Any struggles
okay,
there?
Okay. No, not really. We have a good relationship with him. So does his dad. The area of school, though, last year we had to get him tested for, like, learning disabilities, and they found out he has ADD, not the hyper one, but the inattentive and a focus issue problem. And so, yes, that's what we, you know, okay. That's the only thing in school. But otherwise, he's doing pretty well.
Second would be social relationships, buddies, friends, getting along, you know, sports with those people.
We don't have a whole lot of kids in the neighborhood that are actually healthy enough to sort of be around, but,
healthy enough meaning like what, they're bad influences?
Yeah, they're like dysfunctional.
Like in what way?
Like some of them are very physically dysfunctional, you know, very physically abusive, or some are verbally abusive, or, it's just not one kid's parents are into pornography. I mean,
whoa.
It's just,
okay.
Yeah. So there's some stuff there. We just sort of like try to keep this thin.
But are you intentional? Are you intentional about getting him around other kids?
Yeah, he's involved in youth group, and
okay,
he is
okay.
On a baseball team at school.
All right. And the third is like, how's he doing in, like, chores and the kind of the task of the day? Like, pretty obedient kid. It's at home and a team player and all that.
Not obedient, no. I'd say with the ADD, it's sort of like one direction at a time and leaning on him sometimes to accomplish them. His work ethic is, he doesn't really care about quality, but, I mean, he...
Yeah, he's sixth grade, too.
He's pretty respectful. He's now in eighth grade, by the way. This has been a two-year...
Can he talk about negative things and failure and I get lost and I get stressed and I don't know if I'm a good student? Can he talk about negative things with you and Dad?
I always say Joey is a kid of few words. He really does not...
what I keep coming back to, Cindy, is anytime you got a kid like this, there's always the explorative part of, you know, I did this and I'm curious about sex and I got into porn and Mom and Dad came together with me. They said, we're going to put software filters on, and they got to do that. But also, sweetheart, even though this is explorative time for you, this is like dynamite. And so, you know, what do you do it when you're stressed? Do you do it when you're alone? And if he's Joey's a few words, it might mean that you need to help him get more verbal because he could be self-medicating and comforting his stress, his failures, his fears, kind of the curiosity he's got about life. He may be using that instead of relationship. Especially if he's coming back and your husband's reading EMB with him, maybe Joey needs to be drawn out some more to become a more verbal male. My wife and I raise boys, and they're by definition nonverbal. There were no words.
Yeah.
And so I had to do a thing called a forced walk with my kids where every day I'd come home and I would say, you've got to walk around the block with me. And they would say, I hate this. I hate it. You're lame. I don't want to do this. This is stupid. I'd rather be playing baseball or whatever. And I said, forget it. I mean, I'm your dad. We're doing a forced walk. We will connect. And Cindy, the first half of the walk, they would be saying how lame this was. And I'd just keep walking. Mm-hmm. Second half of the walk, they'd say, you know, because you're not having to look at your dad because guys don't like to look. They're looking around at the cars and the squirrels, and they'll say, I don't think the coach likes me, or I really don't understand math, or there's this girl and I don't know what to do. There's a buddy of mine and he scares me or he's mean to me. And they get really vulnerable on the second half of the walk. And inevitably, Cindy, this is a dad thing, but I get to the end of the walk and you know what the kids would say to me?
What?
Can I walk around again?
Yeah.
Your husband needs to maybe help Joey to become a verbal Joey. And dig into that so that he's talking about failure and fear and what it's like being a teenager and all that, and get him to be a verbal kid by opening him up. And that may solve all of what you're talking about.
I do that with him, and he does resist, and then he finally does start telling me things. But his dad doesn't always get to do that. He's busy, but I think he's very uncomfortable talking about sexual things. And
Dad or Joey?
Dad.
Well, Dad's doing a good job for reading the book, but you got to tell him our son's future sexual stuff and marriage is at stake here. I need you to get more comfortable with this because boys are designed to move away from mother. And at 12, he's moving away from you as fast as he can developmentally. He's moving toward Dad. So your dad's got to kind of show up on this one.
All right.
Okay, another aspect of that just needs to be mentioned is in some states there are legal ramifications for sexting at 12 years old in terms of child pornography.
Yeah.
So there could be legal ramifications going on if this doesn't change.
Yeah. Big deal.
All right. Let me send you a copy of Every Man's Bible for your husband. Great gift for him. And I hope he will use that. And it really, there's some great things to talk about with with him and his son that are in there. I want to talk with Paul real quick from California. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing great.
You are an EMB graduate, right?
Yep, and Jason, good to hear you too.
Hi, Paul.
How's it going?
When did you go through?
August 20th in Seattle.
And what was going on before you went?
Well, boy, how far back do you want me to go?
Not too far back.
You know, I've been, you know, addicted, compulsive sexual behavior since I was young, and in the last few years, it flared up into really offensive behavior.
Mm.
I got involved in prostitution, and what had just been incubated as porn and masturbation for, you know, 28 years during a period of stressful time and finances. And I don't blame that, but it obviously, it created a cauldron for me, and the acting out started.
Would you say you loved your wife during all that time?
Oh, I adored my wife.
So I just want people to hear that. Here you are, you're with a prostitute, and you're saying, I adored my wife. How were you able to pull that off? Or what's the dynamic there that we need to understand?
You know, I think at a very early age, I learned to compartmentalize my sexual behavior.
Yeah.
That I set it apart as something that I did privately for me, for comfort, whatever, and I turned off a part of my heart when I did it.
Yeah.
Very common.
Yeah. Yeah. We talk about the lack of integration of our sexuality and how that causes so much disconnection with ourselves, with others, and you've been able to pinpoint it. Now,
were you sexual with your wife at the same time?
Yes.
Okay, so there's this other kind of sexual part that the prostitute would get, and she would not get, your wife would not get that part. I mean, this, I'm sure the sexuality had to be different in nature.
You know, it was different in nature, but what was happening is progressively I was becoming more and more detached sexually from the emotional and the intimate part, the spiritual part of sexuality in both environments.
Okay.
Because I was just so heavy with the guilt and the weight of my own sin.
Why did you decide to get help?
I knew it was wrong. I tried to do it on my own. I had actually been involved in secular recovery around this issue when I was 21.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And had fallen, you know, away from it, but had never at that time, you know, applied the blood of Christ to it. I'd never really submitted this area of my life to Jesus the Lord.
Mm.
And while I wanted him as Savior, I didn't want him to be Lord of that part of my life. I wanted to hang on to it.
Yeah.
And I thought that I could just manage the porn. And, you know, it wasn't manageable.
What was her response when you shared with her the extent of the problem?
She was devastated.
Mm.
She was devastated.
And did she stick with you?
She did.
Mm.
You know, at first she said, "It's, you know, I'm going to stick with you only for the kids. And you mess up once and you're out of here." But just today, I'm a few days away from 6 months. And just today she told me how proud she was of me.
Mm.
And,
wow. That meant a lot to you.
Oh, it means the world to me.
Mm.
It means the world to me. And she sees that I'm making right choices today. And she sees that I'm really, really committed. I've gone 6 months without so much as masturbating, touching myself, anything. And it's the first time in my adult life that I've known that freedom.
Hey, what does that feel like for a wife to be proud of you?
Oh, tremendous.
Mm. That story is available to everyone. Yeah. Every man walking around, that story is available.
So, Paul, somebody thinking they don't have much of a problem, but they had the same stuff as you, what do you say to that guy?
Oh, man, surrender, surrender. Mm. Fall on your knees and cry out to the Lord. He will meet you.
All right. Thank you, Paul, for sharing that, and boy, just give our best to your wife and stay the course.
Think about all the wives right now listening to this program who are thinking, I want that.
Yeah.
I want that for
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're a wife, you call us. You make the bold move. A lot of times guys just aren't going to get off dead center. Unless
what's the percentages?
Well, we get about 75% of our phone calls are from women. That's where it begins most of the time. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are.
but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Jason Mantikas, who is the he is the head of Every Man's Battle. And, boy, it's helping a lot of people. Let's talk with Lisa from Washington, D.C., listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
How are you, Lisa?
Okay.
Did you have a question for us?
Yes, I do.
All right.
I recently found out my husband was having an affair. We've been married 32 years. One affair for 15 years, and the second affair at the same time for 4 years.
Oh, dear. Sorry.
He just finished EMB in January in Nashville, and I found out in November. We called New Life, got hooked up with a counselor, went to EMB. Was an amazing experience for him. Less than a week later, he called these women to have more closure after we had agreed that that was not going to be the case.
Ouch.
My question is there a difference between sexual addiction and sexual infidelity?
Well, Jason, give your shot at it, and I've got a comment.
Sure. I think somebody can be sexually unfaithful, sexually immoral, without being sexually addictive. There's some delineation there. I think the issue
you talked earlier, Jason, I thought was a good distinction between temptation and compulsion.
Right, giving into a temptation is different than being compulsively than compulsively giving into a temptation, which is where an addiction would lie. Yeah, I think it's important though to go on either of those, whether it's just giving into a temptation or repetitive compulsion, to go down to the heart level. What's going on at the heart level?
I term it as a one time for a Christian. I call one-time slip, which means they slipped into this. They thought they probably could resist and got closer and closer to the fire and literally got burned. Then you've got the serial killer, who this becomes a way of life. The compulsion leads them from one activity to another, and their mind is never at rest. In fact, the more that they try to stop the compulsion, the more the obsession is in the mind. Now, does that help you at all, or how does that affect your situation?
Well, it does help me, and I understand exactly what you're saying, but the situation that exists is that he travels for a living, and he has the ability to fly anywhere, and that's how he was able to keep up this 15-year affair with a former fiancé from his hometown.
Yeah, you're going to have to put some things into his travel, both of you.
Some protective structure.
That's
here,
right.
Here we are back to trust building.
You know, like if you had an iPhone, you would want him to do FaceTime with you where you could see where he was and what he's doing, and you'd have that right. You've got to be sure that you have access to his assistant, to anybody he works with, that you can ask where he is, how do I get in touch with him. Total transparency from him, or I think he's a sitting duck to fall back.
He is a sitting duck because the transparency is going to be extremely difficult. He's an airline pilot, so he does not fly with the same people every trip. He has access to hotel rooms that the company is obviously paying for during layovers.
So you say to him, honey, here's what I want you to do. I believe in you. I know you're walking right. I want you to call me and tell me every time you have a feeling that is dishonoring to me and desirous of another person.
Okay.
Now, if he goes, you know what, I can do that because it's such a rare thing. But, you know, if he can't do that, then there's some other pieces here that have got to fall in place. He's got to find some additional support and structure for you to be able to trust him and for him to be able to live the life that I think he'd want to live.
His job is to remove all doubt. That's his job right now. It's early in the process. His job is to remove all doubt from your mind as to what he's doing with his integrity.
Good way to put it. Remove all doubt.
Lisa, we're kind of talking about him, but we haven't checked in with him. What's his attitude toward your concern?
Oh, he totally is in a completely state of, understanding. He wants nothing more than the marriage to work.
Isn't
We've been together for 35 years. He believes that he was living a double life, a lie, an unchristian walk. He does not have any godly men in his life, but EMB was amazing, and he's now got some emails, and they're talking back and forth with other people he's connected with, but no small group interaction yet or anything like that. I did find that there is one in our area, but because sometimes he's gone for a week and then home for a week, there's not going to be consistency with that.
You know, the best thing for him is sustained victory. Because that's a call-in group, but he can call in from any continent on the planet and be a part of it.
Can you tell what that is for our listening audience, Jason?
Sustained Victory is our aftercare program. When somebody comes through EMB, they can stay connected with the men that they went to EMB with, that they sat in a room and bore their soul with, over the phone, a weekly teleconference call, as well as daily check-in calls. And we have guys calling in from almost every continent doing that.
I'm so glad you called, and let me send you a copy of Every Woman's Marriage and Every Man's Marriage.
You know how we get so many truck driver calls?
How?
I mean
yes,
you know,
I do. We do get good.
I'm thinking there's some similarities here if you got a pilot.
Gotta be. Yeah.
And I wonder if there's any kind of like support groups for pilots or growth things, or when you're in a town, there's a place that people in the airline industry can go so they can be in a healthy place. Yeah, I wonder if there's something like that to say how to stay married and happy when you're such a traveler.
You know, there's a whole truck driver ministry that surely is duplicated.
Right.
For
that wouldn't be hard to set up.
I think so.
Let's get that set up. You pilot people, start calling in. We're on your team. Yeah. Flight attendants,
that's
too.
Right. Hey, most of you know, John and I are part of a trip to Israel. And a lot of people say, well, is it safe over there? I want to play a little video clip from former ambassador of tourism who addresses the issue of safety in Israel. Watch this or listen to this.
Israel is the safest place. Now, the question why is it the safest place, or why is Jerusalem safer than most Western cities, the answer is very simple. Any tour is comprised of a few sections. You have to fly to the destination. You arrive at an airport at the destination. You go to a hotel in the destination, and you travel around the country with a bus. Well, El Al is considered the world's safest airline. And actually, American Airlines flying to Israel are going through special security measures. Now, it's not Ambassador Rami Levy saying that. Condé Nast Traveler, which is one of the world's leading tourism magazines, did a research and a survey and found out that El Al is the safest airline in the world. Travel and Leisure, which is another major travel magazine in the U.S., has done a research about the safest airports in the world. And they found out that the Ben-Gurion Tel Aviv airport, the one that you'll be flying into, is the safest airport in the world. But most important, you know, those are technical issues, these are security issues, but the most important thing is that you can see, Steve, Israel is experiencing the record year of tourism. It's very, very a popular destination today. And the reasons for that are not just the fact that it's one of the most secure places in the world. The reasons is that there's not another Holy Land. This is the Holy Land. This is the land, and this is the city that billions of people pray for every day and are dreaming to come to. So I'm very happy that you're here. I'm more happy that your people are coming here in a few months, and I'll be here with you to welcome the people and to be with you throughout the tour.
All right. John and I are going, and we feel totally safe. And Stephen Curtis Chapman's going to go do some praise and worship music, do a concert. Sherry Denham, Milan Yurkovich, and Kay. The New Life family, we're going to be there, and it's going to be a trip of a lifetime. At least find out about it. Get the information at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Also, if you need any help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to join us on another program, 1-800-229-3000. And if you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call. We really do need your help. We're listener-supported. And thank you to all of you that do support us. And we'll see you here next time on New Life Live. Have a great, great day today.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.